Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to the last show of the year of Let's Weekend. I, of course, am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me, as always, is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Logie, and Therese Sammons. Hey, hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Like we said, this is going to be the last show of the year. We're pretty much going to be taking a break next week for, I guess, in both this and for the Day Zero update as well.
Yeah, about 2 weeks. So.
Yeah. Also, there is a good chance that by the time you're listening to this, we are officially going to be in the middle of a government shutdown. So, yeah. About 25% of it, anyway.
Well, the other 75% doesn't work, so I don't know if there would be much of a difference.
This week, of course, this being the last week before Christmas, we're all basically freezing our asses off. We're all either winding down or frantically trying to finish all of our Christmas shopping and Christmas stuff in general. And then which Wednesday comes around and suddenly we realize we got all this bullshit we got to clean up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're one of those a-holes who leaves their crap up past New Year's.
Yes. Proud a-hole.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically we're all kind of frazzled and exhausted trying to get all this crap together, but the world waits for none of us because, as usual, we got dumb crap to talk about and some fun stuff. We have another celebrity death that happened. We got another piece of turnover from the Trump administration. We got some shenanigans going on in Syria. We're going to find out the fate of the rings on Saturn. And we've also discovered the single most distant object in our solar system. And that's not even all of the science news we got, because some pretty incredible stuff happened from there. Yep. We also got some movie news. And then we're all going to wrap it up with a new feature we're hoping to do annually now. Around this time of year, we like to call it the Weekendies. Basically, it's our awards for the biggest assholes and the biggest heroes that we've had this year. Also, we got a special for the dipshit of the year. And you'll never believe who it's going to be. Yes, you will. But we're going to have all that and more on this exciting episode of Let's Weekend. So, Bill, to start us off, what have you been up to this week?
So it's been game of the year stuff for Smash Pad. I got all my stuff in and collated and images and all that good stuff in there. Did some work on the site to make those articles more prominent so people will be able to go read them. What else? Yeah, been doing that. I've been doing emulation stuff, still getting my launch box set up the way I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You notice this is taking a really long time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As they are wont to do.
Yeah, well, you know, when you, it's a nice program, but there's just so much stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just takes a while. Like, really, you know, I got all my PS2 stuff is in there now. Got my Atari Lynx is in there. Game Boy. Basically, I've been working on the handhelds mostly, just getting those up in there. I think next I'll just get the Saturn stuff so I can get back to Shining Force 3, and hopefully by this time next week, or maybe the week after, I'll have my USB Saturn controller, so I won't be playing that game with a Xbox One controller, which, I mean, it does work, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Less than ideal.
Yeah. But, you know, I would like to play some of those Saturn fighting games, because it did have some really excellent ones. So, yeah, I'll be planning on doing that. I intend to start adding the arcade stuff in there. You know, I want to get the old stuff like Pac-Man, Galaga, and all the good stuff that's
as you do.
Grew up in. Yeah. I got a couple Naomi games in there already just to test out Raycast, and it works beautifully. So that's going to be nice. Yeah, so that's kind of been it there. Apart from that, well, Tetris Effect. Because that's what I end up defaulting to before I go to bed. Just
That's a good standby.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. You play a couple of the relaxed playlists and then go to bed, and it's like,
Out.
Yep. So, yeah, so that's kind of been pretty much it for me. What about you?
With all of the days off for holidays we got coming up at work, it's been a bit of a energetic time, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically just been work, sleep, work, sleep, work, sleep. We've been clearing out on a daily basis, so staying on top of things has been key when we're going to be missing as many what is ordinarily work days, you know, as we're going to.
How long is your shutdown over there?
Well, it's just that we have Christmas Day off, we have New Year's Day off, we have Martin Luther King off, we have just all of these days that they add up.
Yeah.
And if you miss that many days in that span of time, say in the summer, we'd be overwhelmed. Yeah. So, thankfully, it's at a less busy time of the year, so yeah. We can stay on top of things fairly easily. But yeah, it definitely keeps things interesting.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
Oh yeah.
But it also sucks the life out of me, and so I've been coming straight home and going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, a few days off will probably do you some good. So
yeah. All right, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so it is cold. I saw the sun for 2 days this week. It's a new record.
Hmm.
as Teresa knows, it's gray for 6 months out of the year.
It's just fucking miserable is what it is.
I love it.
Oh, hush. Well, at least
I'm okay with it for the most part. But yeah, the sun was out for like 4 hours for like 2 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The gray is fine as long as it's not like raining or snowing.
Yeah.
But yeah, today was raining. Mm-hmm. Mostly like mist, so real annoying stuff.
Yep.
Especially if I had glasses. It's like, oh, good. I have to keep wiping this off. But yeah, it's been okay weather-wise. No snow yet. I think we're supposed to get some around Christmas next week, so and I look forward to that. But for other stuff, I watched the Ellen DeGeneres comedy special on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Her first one in 15 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was good. She definitely talks the first part about how a friend was concerned about how relatable she could be as a comedian, mm-hmm. which then she goes into a bit about her butler, Batu, who asks her to draw a bath for her, but then forgets the towel, so she gets mad at her and mad at him. But then has her maid dress her and all that sort of stuff.
Nice.
And yeah, there's like a second part at the very end, like a second part that she takes some questions from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing she does with the last person, she just, it's like, you're going to be the last question on special, so it better be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of thing, just putting all this pressure on her, and then it actually ends up being good.
No.
Her stand-up's fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good stuff, especially talking about how like her coming out ruined a bunch of people's lives. Like anybody that worked with her, or even Oprah, that helped her come out, like got tons of hate mail and all that. Just for being, helping her with that stuff and like how all that went. Yeah, it was a pretty cool special.
Hmm.
I also watched the new season of Fuller House, which I didn't know existed until after the Ellen special. It's pretty good. It starts. The nice thing they do is like each of the seasons like starts right around the time that it's released.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning of this is like a little Christmas special for the first episode, which is pretty cool. Though they have a few bits of lazy writing in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's one bit where they're shitting on millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Uncle Jesse, they adopted a kid in one of the previous seasons, and so he's like trying to find like a Daddy and Me group to hang out with. And runs this one with a bunch of guys who are since they're in San Francisco, they're like tech dude bros,
mm-hmm.
Who rely on a parenting app to teach them how to be dads. So he's like shitting on millennials. Like, these aren't millennials. These are, you know, tech douches.
Mm-hmm. They're straw millennials.
Yeah. They're freaking out about their kids getting real donuts. Cause he buys donuts for kids. Like, they're not faux nuts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're actually having sugar and running around, mm-hmm. like beat kids and it's freaking out. It's like, yeah, that's just a stupid thing to get upset about. But, there's a bit where Kimmy's event planning company, so the whole part of this season is Stephanie in the previous season could not have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So Kimmy offers to be the surrogate for her. And mm-hmm. so that's the pregnancy is the whole season right up to the end. And since Stephanie is not going to be able to keep being her like assistant for that stuff,
mm-hmm.
She hires an intern. And it's like, oh, it's a gay kid. So...
Mm-hmm.
Because of course, but then she's all like, you know, being super happy about how helpful he is and all this. And it's like, oh, and I don't have to pay you. And it's like, oh yeah, of course.
Mm.
Of course it's going to be an unpaid intern. Cause yeah, why would you pay for people that are useful? that seems like another like San Francisco thing. I'm like, hey, let's exploit these people, even if it's for like a very small like event planning business. But yeah, it's other than like stupid stuff like that, it's pretty good. Danny Tanner's kind of the crazy grandpa now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple bits where he just drives to the house because he forgets how to drive home. he just like gets lost. There's a good bit where so Ooh. The morning show that he has with Jesse's wife.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit where he steals her car to go in because he doesn't because mm-hmm. he's like getting shit on by his family, by his daughters and all that. And so he's like, "Well, if I'm gonna get disrespected, I'll do it at work," and just leaves. And then she comes back and is like, "He just leave? That's my car," sort of thing. And it's. That's pretty good for what it is. But as for games, I played Subnautica, which is free on the Epic Game Store.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and it's really cool. It is it's very much a crafting survival game.
Mm-hmm.
Your spaceship has some issue that happens where it's going to crash into the planet, and so everybody escapes on the escape pods. And so you land on this planet, and it is pretty much as far as I've seen so far in the few hours, it's an ocean planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately you have to start going into the water below, collecting resources, and start using that to build, you know, tools and better equipment and all that sort of stuff. And it looks really good.
Mm.
I've had a couple of performance issues, but that's just because I'm on a 770. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple issues just trying to get to when I go into the surface to sort of refresh my air supply, it occasionally hitch up a little bit, which I think is just because I have not gone through my graphics settings too much and adjusted things down. But it's really only when I surface. But yeah, it's a really fun game. It's really looks really good. They do a good job with the water tech and having lots of cool creatures around. There are some cool hints at some of the stuff that's going to be happening later. I've seen, like, I saw a giant bomb's quick look a while back to see that there is like more stuff going on beyond just the survival stuff here. But yeah, it's a game that's definitely, if you have, if you want to get the Epic Game Store and try it out, it's a really fun game. And I've also been playing some more Hitman 2. Let's see, I did the Suburbia level, which is really cool and also really dumb. Mm-hmm. I basically turned Agent 47 into the Muffin Man. And by that I mean I knocked out a bunch of people with muffins. Because one of the first mission stories you get is you sort of find a way to sort of take out this guy that's selling muffins. Like, they have a home bakery thing. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, these muffins are all over the neighborhood. So I've gone into a bunch of people's houses and just picked up their muffins, and I had like 18 muffins. It's like, all right, I'm just going to start knocking people out with this stuff. And they're heavy duty enough to do that. Mm. Which is a lot of fun. And I explored one of the houses, and so when you find new areas, it'll pop up like, you know, you found, you know, this location. It'll give you a little XP boost on that. So I went to one of the houses and went into the basement. It's like, you found the murder basement. It's like, oh, shit. And there was a woman down there, so I knocked her out with a muffin, threw her in an oven. I wasn't on, so I didn't kill her. But she found a new place to sleep for a while. And yeah, that was a really fun level to go around in. And yeah, because there's one way to take out one of the guys, which is you pretend to be like an exterminator. They're having problems with gophers. Mm-hmm. And so you go in and basically put explosives into the ground. have to be careful with, because if you do that in front of the guards, they will notice that you're not putting like something that isn't explosives in there, and they will start shooting you right away. Like, this guy is not an exterminator. And so the guy that you're trying to kill, you know, goes over and inspects it and is like, oh, this is my time to move away quietly and detonate this. And took him out.
Caddyshack.
Yeah. And, but you could also just plug them up with anything. So I was putting like knives and other shit in them. Mm. And some of these other holes. I don't think those exploded out. But yeah, that was really quite fun. And the, there's another stage that I did. I thought it was South America, but it's Mumbai, India. Mm-hmm. Which was really cool to do. That was one where I'm the Denim Angel. Mm. Which ended me going to find this guy that does a lot of photo shoots. He's one of the targets. And that all ends up with you and him sort of talking one-on-one. He talks about how much he hates you. And then he goes to look off the edge of this like construction site, and you just kick him off. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. Another way is to like drop stuff on him on that stage. I'm looking forward to going back there. I think the other one I had to, I forget what I had to do. I definitely knocked him out. I got to use some sort of explosive for him, but it was a sort of like sweatshop area to go through, which I got through by like sewers. Mm-hmm. Which was really nice, and yeah, that game's just a lot of fun. Mm. I definitely want to do a stream where I'm just knocking out everybody in that town with muffins. just do a real Muffin Man stream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game's real great. Mm-hmm. And they just put out a temporary version of the Paris level from the first season on there. That is definitely influenced by Home Alone, because the web bandits are causing chaos in the mansion.
Of course.
Which I don't know if they... I remember suggesting to them at some point that they should have a little challenge in there for turning on all of the sinks in the house, in the mansion. yeah, I need to do that, because I think if you do the... all the challenges they have for that thing, you get a Santa suit to start in with for Agent 47, which you'll...
And that is how you do holiday content.
Yep. Get to kill a bunch of people and then take a suit. And I believe Santa is actually in that level. He like warps around the mansion. So yeah, that's been kind of it, and just working on Game of the Year stuff. And we'll figure out what all that's going to do for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. All right, Risa, what about you?
I've been playing Red Dead Redemption 2 still.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how this happened, but I got to check it out for 3 weeks in a row. So
mm-hmm.
I guess nobody else at my library wanted it. Well, what the
so
fuck's
did that
wrong
your
with that?
Keep his NADS?
yeah, he kept his NADS, but now he's kind of joined our gang, and it was his idea. It wasn't really mm-hmm. my idea, but, you know, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I still haven't killed the O'Driscoll leader. I'm sure that's going to be one of the things that I end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also been playing Kingdom Two Crowns, which is that pixel art game, indie game. I had been playing Kingdom and then Kingdom New Lands a lot over the past couple of years, like an embarrassing lot. And this one has couch co-op and online play. I have not used the online play yet, but the couch co-op, like nobody's sleeping here anymore. You know, we're just like, okay, one more night, one more night. Okay, as soon as it comes morning, we're going to save. We're going to go to bed. Holy shit, it's 2 a.m. What?
What just happened?
It's like, I didn't believe it. It wasn't fucking 2 a.m. It was like 11.
Nope.
It was 2 a.m. It was 2 a.m. for sure.
That game has a way of, you know, just sort of chunking away at your time without you realizing it.
Well, we have to promise each other, okay, we won't play it today. We have to do dishes.
Yeah. You
know? Shit has to happen today.
Oh, we can play like 20 minutes of this. It'll be okay. We'll get this other stuff done. It's like,
yeah, right? Just one day. Just one day. We're fine. We're good. I'm not an addict. So yeah, I've been playing the fuck out of this. I'm kind of maybe playing it right now. single player at least, working on some of the achievements, because you know I gotta have perfect game in this one. So but I ended up going to Kentucky to pick up a cat Sunday, and then I came back Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So my brain is more fried than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to listen to some audiobooks, and yeah, I tried to get back with Forgotten Realms, but it was just too long and there were too many people calling my phone. But I did a couple of Trek trade paperbacks. I did Gulliver's Fugitives, which was pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really, you know, it really shines as a sci-fi story.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did what was it called? Fallen Heroes, where Quark and Odo get trapped in a 3-day time bubble. And when they come out of it, everybody's slaughtered. So that was an interesting a mystery thing. You know, it's got Odo and, of course, Rene Arbogenois did the narration.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he did a great job. But I couldn't, you know, when he's trying to do Sisko's voice, that one didn't work for me. Because he's doing Odo's voice. But otherwise, that was great. So I got that in, and everything else I've been doing is a whole fucking lot of nothing other than Game of the Year stuff for Smash Pad.
So, yeah, because you've been editing all of this shit.
Yeah.
I've been trying to, and sometimes putting in the links, you know, if the links aren't there, and trying to figure out, what do we have links for? What the hell is going on? Honey, where are my pants? Yeah, sadly, we didn't have any Lego games this year, did we?
No, we didn't.
Mention it.
Nothing. What's up with that? But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much...
Annualization fail?
I don't know. Maybe they're working on something. Maybe they're working on something. But yeah, that's been my week.
All right,
how about you, Brandon? Did you already do yours?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So... My primary gaming, so I think it was either yesterday, a couple days ago, I went out to GameStop because they're having their holiday sale, and I went and got copies of both Metro Redux and the complete version of Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain. So I got those both for like under $15. So so right now I've been going through Metro Redux. Because, you know, for those of you who don't know, Metro Exodus comes out early next year. Yep. Matter of fact,
February 15th.
The death week of Valentine's Day week.
Mm-hmm. Because just about everything's coming out in February next year.
Yeah.
Used to be they did this stuff right around the holidays, but not anymore.
Nope.
I guess they didn't want to compete with Smash Brothers.
Yeah, well, you got Red Dead just before the holidays, and then in December you had Smash. It's like, well, you're kind of screwed either way if you end up anywhere near there.
And don't we have Kingdom Hearts in January? Or is it
January 29th?
In January.
Yeah. 29th for Kingdom Hearts.
Okay. All I know is that I can't get another job for a while.
And what day is DOA?
It's February 26th.
I thought it was in January.
Nope. February. Metro Redux, specifically Metro Last Light Redux. God, those, I always forget how like harrowing those games really are, because, you know, obviously, especially with like Last Light, you can play it in basically two different versions. You can play either the survival mode, which is what I'm playing, or you can play the Spartan mode, which is, the more action-oriented version where, you know, there's plenty of ammo and health to use and health packs and, you know, filters for your mask and everything. But if you play on survival, that stuff's actually pretty, can be scarce. Especially when you consider that in this game, ammo also works as currency. So, you know, military-grade rounds that you get, you have to conserve them, because otherwise you can't buy anything. And the, you know, the enemies are smart. Like, they can, you know, as long as you manage to sort of hide in the shadows, you're fine. But if you sneak out just a little bit, they can spot you pretty easily. And if one spots you, they basically call in the whole cavalry. And usually that'll include about two dudes who are like in full riot gear mode with like, you know, the bomb squad armaments and the helmet and the Gatling guns and whatnot. And you just
die.
You
know what time it is.
Yeah. You're dead within a few seconds. But I also forgot like how really like narrative driven both of these games are, especially the second one, because there is a lot of like, cut scenes and stuff in that game. Long cut scenes, I'd add. They're good, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's not a whole lot of, you know, it can be a little bit before you actually get some action.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is that the world you're actually in is very interactive. So, you know, there's plenty of things you can work with. I mean, there's like literally a whole part of the game. Okay, so like, you know how in Red Dead, you know, when you get to, you know, get to what's basically the New Orleans equivalent of that universe, Saint Denis, you basically have like a whole theater show, right? Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, they do. They do. I know you haven't gotten to that point, but, well, they got a whole one in Last Light. That you can literally just sit there and watch the whole thing.
Huh.
I mean, it has no bearing on the story other than the fact that it's there, but it's there.
Hmm.
You know, it's just they're just amazing games. I know I just said, you know, it's just very narrative driven. Of course it's freaking narrative driven. It's based on a book series. Duh.
Yeah.
I have the first book of that series, by the way. I haven't finished it.
No.
But I also, like I said, I also got Metal Gear. I haven't gotten to that as yet. And, of course, I'm still playing Mutant Day Zero.
Which Metal Gear did you get?
5. Okay. Phantom Pain. Okay. Well, I said the Phantom Pain. It also comes with Ground Zeroes as well.
I like the ultimate thing.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's... It's so much fun. It all of it is. I will say, though, like I said, I have been playing Mutant Day Zero as well. I'm finally at the point now, I think, where, like, all of my characters are my whole squad is relatively, like, strong enough now. Because there was a little while where I was kind of having to hunt around for stuff and to get stronger weapons and to, like, get, you know, find previous places that I had to sneak through because I didn't think I was strong enough to get to the goal. Now that I'm strong enough, I can basically go back and just slaughter the whole lot of them.
Were you able to take out the, I think it's level 55 guys they do at the very beginning when they introduce that mechanic to you?
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
My people are like level 45 right now.
I'm basically at the point where I'm shit myself at the idea of trying to take out these dogs at the beginning.
Oh. Oh, don't worry about it.
Two dogs like wandering around the forest. I'm like level 5, same as them. But I just don't know.
I have figured out a sort of a kind of workaround a bit. One of the things you'll want to do is to try and basically first sort of track down all of the enemies that seem to be furthest away from where the enemies are, where like the main grouping of enemies are. Because if they're far away enough, you know, it doesn't matter what type of weapon you wear, the rest of the group won't hear them. Yeah. So,
I'm probably going to get silence weapons for everybody.
That's a
good
idea.
I just have the one right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I hope that guy only has 4 bars.
Yeah, so basically there are 3 silence weapons you get in the game. The first one, of course, is Dux, which, you know, he has his crossbow weapon. Later on, there's this woman that you end up meeting up with, and she has a silencer pistol. And then at some point in one of the big boxes, there's a what basically acts as like a bolt gun, basically, that you can do like up close.
Okay.
It's also a silent weapon. And basically you'll want to like outfit all of your characters with one of each, basically.
Okay. Any recommendations for upgrades for the mutations? Should I bother with the pure like you know, additional health thing or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll want to get the health ones. If you'll want to...
Like, should I go for ability over the health things? Or
it depends. You know, it depends. Well, it depends because the way it levels up a lot of times. So, like, at first when you're leveling up, the stuff's kind of low level, the one you can get. But eventually it gets up to the point where you're like, you need, like, 8 mutation points or 9 mutation points. And the way it's leveled out is that... as soon as you become eligible to get them, because you've noticed that so far, right? Yeah. That when you get up, you get the little exclamation point in your character's profile.
Yeah, I've basically only gotten like the 1 or 2 point things so far.
Yeah. Basically, what you'll want to do is just prioritize the ones in the right panel first.
So just try and get more health.
Yeah. But once you get to the point where, like, you know, that, because they divide it up in such a way that, you know, it'll be eligible to, like, you'll have it where you'll only have so many points to be eligible for, like, ones for, like, abilities, but not ones for, like, health upgrades. So, you know, what I'm saying is when you've got the chance, just take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there's any particular way to go first.
I will be honest.
Or just kind of go, for whatever's there.
Yeah, it's kind of touch and go at first, but you'll figure it out. Yeah. So other than that, I've been doing my usual reading. And, of course, we're winding up all the Christmas shit. I know I've told you guys about the renovations and stuff we've been doing recently. And I guess I may have pointed out, since we've been doing it, it's pretty much felt like we've just been rushing for the last couple of weeks. especially since we decided we just had to do this during the Christmas holidays. Yeah, the guy who's kind of come in to install the countertops is coming in Tuesday. You know what's on Tuesday?
What?
Yeah, he's coming in Christmas morning.
So that means you're getting extra for him?
Guys, the man who takes his work seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys are going to pay extra for him to come in on a holiday.
Yep.
They're like, yep, sure, I'll take double pay or whatever to come in.
Yeah.
Jesus, but, seems like the sort of thing you'd wait till January to do.
Well, tell my mom that. She wanted to get them as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And we still have to pick out like a new stove and to like get the, you know, get the water started up again.
Do you guys have gas or electric for your stove?
It's electric.
You know what? Those flat ceramic tops, I don't ever want to have anything but that because they are so easy to clean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yep. That's pretty much been my week. I think we're pretty much, we got anything we want to add before we move on?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just wanted to correct one thing. DOA 6 is also coming out February 15th.
Okay.
So it's on Death Day as well. So.
All right.
All right. Pucker your buttholes, everybody.
Yep. Yeah, well. All right, well, then I guess it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And since we're basically just a couple of days before Christmas, I thought it would be a good idea if we talked about a very unique and fun Christmas tradition. Now, some of you may remember, I think around this time last year, I talked about another unique Christmas tradition, and that was the Catalan or Catalonian Christmas tradition of the Kaganer. Do I need to briefly explain that again?
Refresh our memories.
Kaganers are the little figures in the Catalonian culture that you'll find in like nativity scenes. And the thing about Catalonian nativity scenes is they don't just do the manger scene. They usually end up doing the whole town of Bethlehem. And the Kaganer is the dude that's usually hiding in the bushes, squatting, taking a shit.
I missed that episode.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago. I know for a fact.
Oh my God.
Just a quick little, just in case you're curious. This is,
I'm not.
This is what they typically look like. In fact, you know, there's like a whole market of novelty Kaganers that you can get of, you know, superheroes and politicians and celebrities, you know. But I wanted to talk about another Christmas tradition that the Catalonians have. Phil may already know about this one, but if you don't, I'll go ahead and show it to you. It's this happy little guy, the Tio de Nadal. And you're thinking, oh, well, that looks nice. He's a smiling, happy little tree log. He's got a nice cartoony face and a smile, and he's got a red button nose.
Oh, what orifice is he going in?
Well, let me tell you. So the log is actually hollow. He's usually about 30 centimeters long, traditionally. Originally, he didn't actually have any legs. You notice he's got little legs there on the front. Originally, they would just sort of put him on like a stand or something, like where you'd hold firewood or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what you would do to little Tio here is that you all of the Christmas season, you try to keep him happy. You know, you'll feed him, you'll dress him, keep him warm. That's why you've got that nice little red frock over him. You know, you'll sing songs to him. Usually this will all start like around December 8th, which is right around the time the Feast of the Immaculate Conception happens. And then once Christmas comes around, well, actually on Christmas Eve, you then pick up the little log and you take him over to the fireplace. You have him facing the fireplace. Then all the kids gather around and they order him to shit candy.
Okay.
Mexico?
Nope. Catalonia.
Catalonia again, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't end there, though, because usually he won't. Because it's a fucking log. So then, because he won't stick, he won't crap out any presents, kids then decide to sing a little song called the Cagatillo Song, where it's basically ordering it to shit out nougat, tangled nuts, and matto cheese. You don't. Well, If little Tio decides he ain't going to poop out any presents, well, then the kids decide to just get around and beat him with a stick.
Wow.
Wholesome Christmas traditions.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little picture of just the nice varieties of little Theodonatal logs that you can get with all kinds of hairstyles and just...
Oh, no.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
No sweet dreams, everybody.
See, the real solution is Xlex.
Yeah. But basically what usually happens is that then they decide that, well, the stick isn't working. Maybe we need to warm it next to the fire. So what happens is the parents tell the children to go to a different room, usually to the kitchen, so that they can warm their sticks. And then while they're gone, the adults will get little presents or toys or, you know, candy or stuff, and they'll place it, you know, near the rear end of the Christmas log. And then they come back and said, hey, he crapped out presents. You know.
Oh, boy.
By the way, for those who are curious, it's like, okay, so, like, he can't poop out anything too large. Usually the really big presents come from the three wise men, but...
Do they poop those?
That sounds very uncomfortable.
So no, they just deliver those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing too big.
Yeah. So,
No big Kit Kats.
Uh-huh.
And a Toblerone.
Some Twizzlers.
Yeah. You know, I gotta really hand it to the Catalonians. They've got probably the most fuck you culture on the planet. Because you got this, and then you got the dude taking a crap in the bushes, and this is all Christmas-related stuff.
The fuck are they doing at Christmas there?
They got digestive problems, I mean.
Not for long.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't remember, Catalonia in the 1930s was the site of the anarchist revolution. So they basically didn't have a government for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could do.
I mean, if you need to make a good case for...
But to be honest, both of these traditions have been around since the 18th century. So, yeah.
Dang.
And actually, to bring back the whole thing about the Kaganer, because in Barcelona, I think this is in Barcelona. Yeah, this is in Barcelona, in Plaza de San Juan. They'll do, you know, the nativity thing too. And again, like I said, in nativity scenes in their culture, they don't just do the manger scene. It's not just, you know, because when we think of manger scenes, we have like a picture in our head, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like it's, you know, it's the stable overhead with Jesus and Mary with, you know, I mean, you know, Joseph and Mary with little baby Jesus in the manger, and there's wise men over here and maybe some shepherds over here, and there's maybe some farm animals here and there.
Well, I mean, thanks to you, my vision of it will always include public defecation now.
Well, like I said, they do like giant you know, nativity scenes too, because, you know, again, you're in their culture that you don't just do the nativity scene, you do the whole city of Bethlehem. So, you know, there's also like the innkeeper and his family and all this stuff, right?
Yeah. They're very elaborate dioramas, actually. If you have a look at them, they're actually quite nice.
Yeah, they actually, if what I've been told, like there's dozens upon dozens of individual characters, and you kind of have to shill out some serious euros if you want the whole set.
Mm-hmm.
But the city of Barcelona did a life-size version of their nativity scene. And again, because it's meant to represent the whole town of Bethlehem, they spread the whole life-size nativity all over the city. Mm. So, like, there's a life-size manger scene, and there's, like, the inn, another part of the city.
Life-size Kaganer.
Yeah, they had a life-size Kaganer. Here he is, right here.
Just... because they can.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that has been yet another episode, the last episode for this year of Brandon's Random Factoid.
A very shitty one.
Mm. One.
I honestly wish this was a tradition in the U.S. I really do.
Just wait around for the shitty men to poop out your candy.
Yeah.
See what comes out of his butt.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, it's now time to start the show proper. And first off, as always, we have to start off with our asshole of the week, and it's Facebook. Because guess what, folks? Turns out that Facebook is giving out your information to far more companies than they've ever admitted to.
Add WhatsApp to that, because they own it now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so this recent allegations came out of New York Times. Basically said, let's see, they give Apple access to users' Facebook contacts and calendar entries, mm-hmm. even if they had disabled data sharing. A partnership that still exists. Apple says they're unaware they had special access, mm-hmm. and the data described would never leave the user's device. Sure. Amazon got the names and contact information of users in a partnership that's currently being wound down. Amazon wouldn't discuss how it used the data. I say it used its, quote, appropriately.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Ads.
mm-hmm. That's exactly how it was.
Yes. Let's see. They gave Bing access to see names and other profile information of a user's friends. Microsoft mm-hmm. said it has since deleted the data. Said, Facebook says the only user data set to public was accessible to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And they gave Spotify, Netflix, and the Royal Bank of Canada the ability to read users' private Facebook messages. So, Phil, why does the Royal Bank of Canada need anything like that?
Because you could actually do banking via Messenger.
Okay.
Yeah, that's those last three were things that you were actually able to do through Messenger. Like, mm-hmm. But they kind of wound them all down. But the APIs, like, they just kind of stayed.
And yeah, I think Facebook has since responded to this stuff, basically saying, this is all due to your permissions. Like the same thing where it's often a toss up whether new stuff they add is opt in or opt out. You have to go searching through your settings, like, okay, where the fuck is this thing? I have no idea what my permissions are set to. Also, I don't update my thing anymore for a long time.
Mm hmm.
Well, I don't ever do anything with my Facebook accounts when there is like giveaway stuff. Mm. Like, hey, look at our Facebook page. Like, okay, I guess. Mm. But yeah, I'm not stupid enough to use like Facebook for login stuff. That seems like the worst idea. Yeah, so fuck you, Facebook.
Yeah.
There's
Facebook a great alternative out there called MeWe. If the day ever comes that we just decide that it's time to have another migration, much like the mass one from MySpace to Facebook, that'll probably be the place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. So far, they're saying that they're, not selling your shit, taking privacy seriously, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never know.
Hey, this company that keeps being repeat offenders of privacy issues, maybe people should stop trusting them with things.
Yeah. It seems like the other companies are like just kind of dropping them like a hot potato at this point.
Yeah. It almost seems like we should maybe move our staff thing over like Discord or something.
Yeah.
That's probably a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's decentralize it from this other shitty thing.
Yeah.
Poor Brandon, after we finally dragged you onto Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, he got on Facebook to troll Nazis, so it's all right.
Well, yeah, that's cool. But
anyway.
Well, I got nothing to hide, so.
Doesn't matter. They got nothing they need to see of yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always like that argument being made that if you don't have anything to hide, it's it's you don't really have to worry too much about privacy, and it's okay for what they do.
No.
My response to that is, well, you close the bathroom door when you go take a shit, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I do. Some people I know don't.
that's for the sake of others.
Yeah.
It's bad enough I have to see that.
Oh, there was a good joke in the Ellen DeGeneres thing. She was talking about the concept of the bathroom attendant.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I need somebody to go into the bathroom with me. Oh, you want someone to go? No, I want somebody to already be in there listening.
Oh, dear.
It's like, that would be a nightmare. Like, go into a bathroom, there's an attendant. It's like, oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Show me where the staff bathroom is or something.
All right. What else have we got today?
All right. Well, our hero of the week is a gentleman by the name of Ian Lee. Ian Lee is a radio host. And this week, while he was having his radio show, he was called in, had a call in from a suicidal man who had apparently overdosed on some pills. And he basically talked through him for about 30 minutes until the EMTs could find him.
Yep.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have the audio, which I have not listened to because I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah.
But it's, he basically talked about it afterwards by saying, I'm not sure if they have it here, but he basically said, yeah, this was a really tough thing to go through. He said, tonight we took a call from a man who had taken an overdose. He was lying in a street in Plymouth, dying. Managed to keep him online, get a description of what he looked like and was wearing, work out where he was, and send an ambulance and police to him. Kept him on the phone for 30 minutes while he got harder to understand. Long periods of silence where I thought he died. Fuck, that was intense and upsetting. Saying he hopes he really hopes he makes it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the sort of thing that's, as a radio host, you probably don't ever expect to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I remember a time, shit, must have been almost 20 years ago, that a DJ over here in Utah had a similar call and dealt with a suicidal caller. And it's intense when it happens.
Yeah.
And
it's a tough time for people like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just bad for depression altogether.
Yeah.
But, well, he did a nice job. So.
Yes.
Yep. Great. So, good work for him. All right. Yep. And now it's time to start the proper show proper. And unfortunately, this week we had to say goodbye to Penny Marshall.
Yeah.
So, Penny Marshall, of course, first became famous on Laverne and Shirley, where she was.
Laverne.
Yeah, she was Laverne. And, you know, she ended up winning. She ended up getting nominated 3 times for a Golden Globe for her work on that series. And then after that, she progressed to actually directing in the 1980s. And she made such movies as Jumpin' Jack Flash, Big. Which
League of Their Own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. League of Their Own. Big, of course, is generally considered to be the movie that kind of gave
Tom Hanks a start.
His big break, although it wasn't the first thing he starred in.
No.
It also gets creepier one of the more better you think ones. About it.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one, of course, is Monsters and Mazes, which was that sort of tell your children type, you know, very special TV movie about the dangers of Dungeons and Dragons. But she also made Awakenings, Renaissance Man, The Preacher's Wife, Riding in Cars with Boys. She also produced Cinderella Man and the 2005 version of Bewitched. And she also directed some of episodes for According to Jim and the United States of Terra. So
she was
very busy. Mm-hmm.
And she was the first woman director to have a movie gross more than $100 million with a League of Their Own.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of a record-setting thing. And obviously we had...
No, actually it was Big that did that.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Big.
Okay.
So she had two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, led to Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman sort of setting a new record, almost getting to $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Showing that, hey, it doesn't matter the gender of the director.
Yeah. As long as the movie's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like good talent's good talent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She had it.
She had it, yes.
Yeah.
I've seen some of those movies. I only ever really knew her as Laverne.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because she kind of became... Her movies kind of became bigger than she was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But I was always aware that it was her. I don't know why. You know, maybe somebody in school talked about it. Maybe my mom talked about it. But I always knew it was her. And it was Laverne, and you know she was directing now. So,
I mean, her older brother was also a huge director. Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never made that connection.
Yeah.
But
you know, like, what?
Holy shit.
It's because I read TV Guide. That's what it was, you guys.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who may be younger, TV Guide is what we had before the internet.
Or we had the TV Guide channel.
Yeah.
Where you watch the streaming list of things.
God, it was before cable.
Oh, God, the one they have for the local ISP we have here. They use, like, Comic Sans for certain types of channels. Oh, it's real weird different fonts. Like, the kids' channel has, like, really, like, playful font stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can we not?
I miss the days of the terminal font that we had. You know, just the early. Can we go back to that?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, so, yeah, goodbye, Penny. You're gone, but your films will be with us. So, all right. Well... All right, and now it's time for the Trunkapades. The Trunkapades, yes. Mm. So first things first, we got another person leaving, Interior Secretary Ryan Zink. He's leaving by the end of the year. So
he was very much one of the most corrupt people
in man the administration.
Yeah. Yep, and he's going to be gone within the next week. So,
and tried to make money off of Puerto Rico. Because the company they initially hired to get them back online, very much related to him.
Yep,
keeping and, favoritism.
But that wasn't the bombshell. The bombshell was that Jim Mattis is coming after him. So,
yeah, Defense Secretary.
Yep,
very much the one guy that's kind of the straight shooter.
Other than John Kelly, and he's gone also. So,
but, you know, Mattis did not have really much of a say for joining his staff. Like, he's the one guy that didn't really join it.
He got grandfathered in, more or less. Yeah,
basically because he works in the military. Trump is the commander-in-chief. So if he asks him to join, he pretty much has to.
Yep.
And so that he was, like, the one that would push back on Trump's dumb ideas as far as the military is concerned.
Yeah.
Who very much pushed for the State Department to get funding, proper funding, because it saved them money on ammunition for wars. Mm-hmm. And of course, Trump has done very much a lot of work to try to alienate any of our allies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's doing a great job of that.
Yeah.
Indeed he is.
Yeah.
So much so that many of them have said, well, we're kind of on our own because we can't rely on those idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the other hand, he's now in physical proximity to Trump, so could potentially have some interesting ramifications.
Yeah, but this basically means that the last sane man has left the room. So,
yeah, which apparently has caused some of the other people around to be like, oh, shit.
It's caused some of us to go, oh, shit.
And it's caused the people on Russia's state television to go, yes! We own him now.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, so... Oh, but it gets better than there, because now Trump is doing something I actually am happy is going to happen. Just wish he wasn't doing it in such a shit way. He is going to start pulling our troops out of Syria.
Yeah.
Yeah, claiming that ISIS has been defeated, we don't need to be in a civil war, goodbye.
Which is not true at all.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, but he thinks so, and, well,
this is his mission accomplished moment.
Yep.
Yeah.
And which they started saying, oh, the caliphate is gone. It's like, oh, I'm pretty sure that's not happening.
Caliphate has been gone for... couple hundred years at this point.
I think you missed it by a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure these guys know about as much about ISIS as I do.
Like, the last caliphate died, like, in the middle of when the Ottoman Empire was still a thing. So.
And basically, everybody in the GOP has been like, what the fuck are you doing? Even his biggest supporters, like Lindsey Graham, was like, oh, I just got back from an overseas trip. If this is true, what the fuck?
Because, as always, is what he usually does when he gets one of these, you know, wild hairs up his ass, is he basically just goes you know, off the track and just decides to just go ahead and order the shit without talking to anybody.
Yeah, and then when they're like, hey, here's the reasons why we shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah. For the record, I am absolutely okay with us getting our troops out of Syria. We never should have been there in the first place.
But,
I mean, I'm fine that we were there trying to help the Kurds, and that's awesome. But
yeah, this is basically seceding the region to Russia and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
To people you probably don't necessarily want out there.
Interesting how that
Although,
works,
for the record, the Iranians aren't half bad, but
yeah,
the Russians you do not want there.
Mm. No. You don't want the Russians anywhere outside of Russia, basically.
Because there's a major, like sectarian thing when you get Iran involved. Because unlike a lot of the other major Muslim countries, Iran is a majority Shia Muslim country. Whereas ISIS, those guys are all hardcore Sunni.
Hmm.
And those two do not get along.
Not one goddamn bit.
I mean, that shit goes as far back as trying to find out when the Prophet Muhammad himself died, who was going to succeed him.
Yep.
Was it going to be his son, or was it going to be one of the Council of Elders that would be popularly elected by the faithful?
Hmm.
But, I mean, it even goes down to Shia Muslims, unlike Sunni Muslims, actually don't have a problem with having physical depictions of Muhammad.
Hmm.
You know, there's a lot of old Shia Muslim artwork that depicts the Prophet and his apostles from back in the day. Whereas Sunnis are like, no, you can't show him at all in any human form. You gotta just, either show him as a writing out his name or as a flaming ball or something. You think I'm joking? I'm not.
No, I know you're not. People died over this shit.
Yeah. Mm. But yeah, so we'll see how this turns out, but yeah, pretty much. I mean, even freaking Sarah Huckabee Sanders went on Fox in France, and Brian Kilmeade tore into her. He's Trump basically, Trump said that Obama and Hillary were the founders of ISIS. Trump just refounded ISIS. And,
I wouldn't go that far, but.
No, but yeah. I enjoy watching them eat each other.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, it just keeps getting better because remember how I mentioned earlier when we started the show that we're probably going to be – well, at this point, I think now I can say we are going to have a government shutdown. It's supposed to happen at midnight tonight.
Yeah.
And the reason was over this budget plan that they were voting on, and it had about, I think it was $5 billion going towards construction of Trump's stupid fucking border wall.
Mm-hmm.
It just managed to pass the House, but it failed to get the 60 plus votes it needed in the Senate. Because even a bunch of Republicans were looking at this and was like, no.
Yeah.
So now Trump's big old group of fanatics and sycophants are trying to find other ways to fund the wall, and now they have been reduced to donating to GoFundMe to help build it.
Yep.
Wow.
The GoFundMe page was set up by a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I think lost 3 limbs fighting in the second Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, very much was a big Trump supporter. Yeah, very much fell for the whole we need to build the wall to keep out the Mexicans, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Trump's even tried to say that Mexico's paying for the wall with
the
new NAFTA agreements they did.
Yeah, they're not. We're actually sending billions of dollars over to Mexico.
Yeah. I think he's trying to, I don't know, suggest any money they're sending our way, that's all going to that, which I don't think that's how it works.
Nope.
No.
But yeah, so they set up this GoFundMe page, which currently is at $13,639,270.
Mm.
of a $1 billion goal.
I got a ways to go, but
raised by 223,000 people in 4 days.
So there are 223,000 people who think this is a good idea.
Out of how many motherfucking million in the U.S.? Sorry.
About 100 million. There's about 100 million people in the U.S.
I got about 270 million. Mm-hmm. This is roughly like 1/1,000th.
Yeah.
Of the U.S.
Uh-huh.
And they've got...
overwhelming support, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Just mind-boggling, isn't it?
And this guy says he has some contacts high up to try to figure out how to get this money to the government.
Yeah, basically, I'm sure Trump will pocket it and do nothing with it.
Yeah.
That's what will happen.
Yeah, basically donate it to them, I guess. It's like, I guess this is one way to tax yourselves for the government. It's essentially what they're doing is taxing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid tax. I got.
Let's see what the highest donations here.
It's beyond stupid tax.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, there's a $50,000 donation.
I would not be surprised if at least a couple of the people who donated this are one of those like the Mercers or the Kochs.
Yeah.
Or one of those rich asshole families.
Yep.
Yeah. I assume there's no verification for these names, but
yeah.
There's like a $12,000 one from Fortress Stabilization Systems. $10,000 and $10,015. $10,000, $10,000, $10,000, $10,000, $9,000.
Wait, Fortress Stabilization Systems? I wonder who's going to get part of that contract.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, let's see what FortressStabilization.com. Basement wall repair.
Uh-huh.
Permit solution for your largest. And now I saw Trump on Twitter. It was basically like, the Democrats are complaining that they're not going to fund the concrete wall. It's not going to be concrete. It's going to be an artistically designed,
tightly packed steel slats with like spikes on the top.
Right.
It's like, what? Did you get upselled by a salesman?
I can already think of like three or four ways that this supposed big beautiful wall can be surpassed or traversed.
Ladders.
Yeah, there's ladders.
Yeah. There's shovels,
There's shovels where you can just dig under it.
Also, how about that big, large body of water called the Gulf of Mexico?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just go around it.
It gets even better because... since it's not actually like a solid wall, it's just a bunch of steel slats next to each other.
Yeah, just right.
Break it.
They can break it. I'm sure at least some people could probably squeeze through it.
They could squeeze through it and not end up in a goddamn freezer with pneumonia at 5 months old.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you know, like it's just a bunch of steel slats. You could probably pull her.
Okay. There is a...
Just drive your Super Duty up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a GoFundMe to build a giant escalator over the wall.
Yeah!
Now they're just trolling.
Mm-hmm.
Which has great Photoshop skills.
Awesome.
Which, I love these because there's no verification any of this is going to go to anything.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if most of these pledges are, fake.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
It's related to somebody, Hell World.
Well, that sounds really trustworthy.
A Substack newsletter by Luke O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is, but it's trolling, but,
delicious trolling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you figure out how big this wall is and there's going to be a market for ladders that go up it.
Yeah.
Or ropes or whatever. Yeah. It's like,
all right. And to sort of round out our stories for the political world, Washington, D.C. officially has a rat infestation.
You mean besides the Trump administration?
What was the whole Russian thing?
I was like, there is some hackneyed punchline from some stupid Saturday talk show or something, and Of course, Phil delivered. So.
Yep. So yeah, there's been a lot of rain happening in Washington, D.C. this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that has, especially recently, that has essentially flooded their living spaces underground. Mm-hmm. That has caused them to come up to the surface world, mm-hmm. Look for food and all that. And especially in and around the White House. People have been finding rats on the White House lawn. So.
Oh, dear.
Some of those mofos get really big too. There was some that lived in this field next to us in Kentucky, and our dogs got a hold of them and killed it. And it was as long, like the body was as long as my forearm is now. And my grandfather kept taking it, throwing it back in the field. Goddamn dogs keep pulling it back out of the field. And dragging that stinky ass rat around, but they're massive. They really are. Wild rats are fucking huge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so they talked to, let's see, Gerard Brown, program manager at DC Department of Health. So the creature was likely one of many rats flushed out of its burrow by heavy rain. Water doesn't kill them or reduce them at all. Rats can swim for as long as a week, but what it does do is make it difficult for them to find food. And that draws them out too. So they've had mild winters and an increasing human population that's has allowed the rats to sort of feast.
Mm-hmm. These mild winters, this has nothing to do with, you know, science, evidence-based climate change, does it?
Oh, no. Climate change is not a real thing.
No.
The EPA said so. It must be true.
Must be.
Which also comes with this great line from the health department's employee, Andre Pittman. Rats adapt to everything. They can be like geniuses.
Okay. I'm not sure how that works, but, well, yeah, they are kind of adaptable.
Well, Trump is a self-proclaimed genius.
Yeah.
That's exactly where that came from.
He's a very stable genius.
Very. Yes. Oh, love that dig. That was great.
Yeah. But, all right. So that ends the serious portion of the show. All right. Now it's time for the fun stuff. So, first of all, this week we discovered the farthest, most distant object in our solar system.
Yep. So this is, let's see, it's more than 100 times further than Earth is from the sun. It was discovered by the International Astronomical Union's Minor Planet Center. It is a dwarf planet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was given the designation 2018 VG18. Discovery was made by Carnegie's Scott S. Shepard, University of Hawaii's David Tholen, and Northern Arizona University's Chad Trujillo.
Mm-hmm.
It's also been nicknamed Far Out because it's
really far out.
Yeah. Yeah. It is about 120 astronomical units.
Yep.
Which is, for those who don't know, an astronomical unit or an AU is about the distance between the Earth and the Sun. So, you know, it's about 120 times the distance between the Earth and the Sun.
And the second most distant observed object in our solar system is Eris. It's about 96 AUs.
Mm-hmm.
And Pluto is 34. So this is quite a bit of ways out there.
It really is.
Yeah. That's like way in the fucking boonies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah. In sad science news, though, we've discovered that in about 300 million years, the rings around Saturn will disappear.
Aww.
Yep. The big sort of caveat here is that the time frame that's going to happen is ridiculously long.
Yep.
It said it will be gone in about 300 million years.
That's okay. Humanity will be gone in less than 1,000, so
yeah.
Don't really have to worry about
from this alone, the entire ring system will be gone in 300 million years. But, yeah, the rings have less than 100 million years to live. is relatively short compared to Saturn's age of over 4 billion years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the ring, like there's pieces of the ring that is being pulled into Saturn by gravity.
Mm-hmm.
As a dusty rain of ice particles under the influence of Saturn's magnetic field.
Yeah, so Saturn could potentially, like, change physically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, various theories have been proposed for how those rings formed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they got them later in life, the rings could have formed when small icy moons and orbits around Saturn collided. Perhaps because their orbits were perturbed by a gravitational tug from a passing asteroid or comet. Yeah, so it's a pretty neat thing that's very slowly happening.
Hmm.
All right.
But yeah, like the Saturn we would know in hundreds of millions of years is not going to be the same one that we know right now.
No. It might be habitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And next up, we finally have actual confirmation now, like actual solid confirmation that there is ice on Mars, because the Mars Express mission, the rover, uncovered a huge crater that is full of it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, not really a rover, but Mars Express is a satellite mission
mm-hmm.
from the ESA, the European Space Agency.
Yep.
It's been over there for about 15 years.
Yep.
And so, yeah, they got it to, let's see, where is this at?
It's called the Korolev crater.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where at on Mars. It's 82 kilometers across, found the northern lowlands of Mars, just south of a large patch of dune-filled terrain that encircles part of the planet's northern polar cap.
Yeah.
Known as Olympia Unde.
Yeah. And like it looks like a bunch of snow, but it's not. It's ice.
Yeah. It's an especially well-preserved example of Martian crater, and is filled not by snow, but ice. It's center hosting a mound of water, ice, some 1.8 kilometers thick all year round.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon known as a cold trap.
Mm-hmm.
The crater's floor is deep, lying some 2 kilometers vertically beneath its rim. And so the air moving over the deposit of ice cools down and sinks, creating a layer of cold air that sits directly above the ice itself
mm-hmm.
and sort of acts as a shield that keeps the ice stable and stops it from heating up and disappearing.
Yeah. Now, is that picture like an actual photograph or is it a like artist rendering?
I believe it's an actual photograph.
Oh, wow. Well, then.
Yeah.
Where there's ice, sudden, you know where that what that means.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ice can be life.
Well, water anyway.
Water.
But,
well, yeah. Because
the potential. Melt,
but
and potential. Yeah. The big issue they have is they could send the rovers over to investigate this these areas, but they're very much concerned about contamination.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Especially with their. Earth rovers and such. They love to sort of explore this area. I think there's a couple other areas as well on Mars that they would love to explore, but they just don't want to risk, you know, doing something to mess with it.
Yeah.
At least not until we can get like actual humans there to do everything proper.
Yeah.
So
if you can figure out the whole radiation thing, yeah, that's colonizing Mars doesn't seem completely out of reach.
Yeah.
Because there's actually, like, you know, resources that could be useful.
Well, to actually deal with that, you basically have to start creating an ozone layer. And that takes some time. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, it can be done, but
it's just a good thing they didn't discover oil on there, because then we'd be there by Monday.
Yeah.
No fucking shit.
But anyway, in other science news, we actually got our first look inside the atmosphere of the sun. And it's exactly what you think it looks like. It looks like a picture from hell.
Yeah, we have the Parker Solar Probe that is over there.
Mm-hmm.
The closest object that has ever gotten to the sun. And started getting some pretty cool images that definitely makes the summers here seem like a nice cool breeze compared to what this thing is probably experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is it like 1,000 degrees or something, a little bit more than that?
I'm sure it's just cinders now.
Trying to see what they have here. Let's see.
So that's the inside of the sun, and then there's this brown thing. Oh, is that a Phyro? Oh, crap. We're all fucked.
I don't think they have anything about the temperature.
Hmm.
But yeah, it is basically, when they took this picture, it was about 16.9 million miles from the sun's surface.
Hmm. And it's still really fucking hot.
Yep. And yeah, just to give you a bit of scale on that, Mercury is about 36 million miles from the sun, so it's about halfway there.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah. These are amazing pictures, though.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, you got to hand it to them. The frickin' technology has made leaps and bounds in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially creating a device that could withstand the heat from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, apparently they're going to drop it into the sun once that's done. Mm-hmm. So.
Sure. That's the nature's trash can.
I mean. Good luck getting it back any other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and now before we get to our weekendies segment, we got two movie things to talk about. First, we got our first look at the new Hellboy.
Yep. And it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's Hellboy. It's
yeah.
Really looks a lot more playful than the first set of movies we got.
Yeah.
Like, they even playing, like, 80s pop music or whatever that is over the thing.
Yeah.
It's like that. And, yeah, the looks pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
That one looks pretty neat.
Also very, very weirdly violent in that he gets his big gun. They show plenty of shots of him just blowing the shit out of people.
Oh, that's I've read the comics, trust me. That's not out of character. He does for that. Him.
That's saying I don't remember too much about that in the original movies.
I haven't read the
original movies were not that faithful.
The original the original movies were Guillermo del Toro, so
like this seems more action packed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Especially gory stuff.
All right. And then we got our first trailer for Men in Black International.
Which looks really good.
Yeah.
Who's in this?
It's Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's...
So it's going to be funny as fuck.
Yeah, they got also Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Basically, the whole premise is, while we all know about the New York branch, there have been other branches around the world that have been fighting back their alien threats for much longer.
Mm. And I think we touched on that in the cartoon show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, they got reunited the two like stars of Thor Ragnarok for this, which itself, those two are really good. Yeah. Throwing Liam Neeson in there, and it says they also got Kumail Nanjiani and some other people, so looks like it's going to be pretty cool. Yes, it's the director of The Fate of the Furious, F. Gary Gray, which also has quite a bit of good stuff to his name.
Mm-hmm.
He did Straight Outta Compton. He did the original Friday, the remake of The Italian Job. He's done a bunch of music videos, documentaries and such.
Okay, I'm in.
And most of did you guys notice that these both of these trailers do one thing that's like really annoying me?
What's that?
It's like right at the like the first 4 or 5 seconds of the trailer is like a cut down version of the trailer.
Oh, that's been happening for a long time. That's like
really?
Yeah, it's like a lot of trailers like 15, 20, 30 years ago start off with like the little like rating thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what that's replacing, because people apparently can't watch past
that. Don't have an attention span apparently.
And they do that in the theaters too, which is like, what the? I'm here, I can't leave. And the fuck are you showing
captive.
Like 3 seconds of this thing I'll see in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they would do that with the Ready Player One, where it's the view of him going into the Oasis. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. I'm going to get to this. Why the fuck are you showing this to me?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also very much like a kid's thing. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the thing to get the kids, make sure they're going to pay attention.
Yeah.
It's real dumb, but it's...
It makes
is it the get you to put down your phone even though you're not supposed to be using your phone in a fucking theater?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that or on TV or whatever, wherever they show this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
But, all right.
But yeah, it looks good, and I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you made up for Men in Black 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
We do not speak of 3.
No.
We do not speak of 3.
I remember trying to rent that for 99 cents on Amazon. Then it's like, oh, you can't use this on any device that you own. It's like, what?
So I just, that's not a bug. That's a feature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
I'm surprised they didn't just put up a prompt. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, before it's like, oh, yeah, it's going to work on everything. It's Amazon. And it's like, oh, you can't play this on anything. I was like, I guess I'll contact CS. It's like, hey, this doesn't work on anything I own. I don't know how this happened, but give me my money. Yeah. Give my 99 cents back.
All right. Well, all that out of the way, it is now time for our last segment of the year. It's a segment we are hoping to continue for the next few years to come. We're calling it the Weekendies. Basically, we go back through all of the people who are either our heroes of the week or assholes of the week and go all together and see, you know, just how big of either heroes or dickholes they were that they deserve this particular award. And, of course, by the nature of the award, we have more fuck you awards than we have fuck yeah awards. So the fuck you awards we've got for assholes of the year. The first one, most obvious one, take a guess. It has to be
Trump.
It's Trump
and the GOP,
because I mean, there's really no one else you can give it to.
They're our honorary winner every week.
Yeah.
So of course they get their own award at the end of the year.
Top billing right here.
So why do they get the award? Well, let's count the ways. There's the fact that Donald Trump is just an amoral shit weasel. There's the fact that he has filled his administration with other amoral shit weasels. There is the crisis on the border, which includes not only having, you know, desperate refugees and migrants being fired upon, but having their kids and family separated and put into cages.
And occasionally dying.
And occasionally dying, like what happened to that poor little girl last week.
Yep.
We have him basically going back on a bunch of promises, saying, I'm going to be the most pro-LGBTQ president. And during his presidency, we have seen them trying to roll back protections for transgendered individuals, HIV-positive individuals. And as far as the immigration stuff continues, it's now come out that they have been trying to kick out refugees that have been here from the Vietnam War. That includes not only Vietnam itself, but also Cambodia and Laos.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, basically before they had the truce, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, hey, people have been living here their whole lives. They might have to get deported.
Yeah.
People and of course, have,
Then, of course, there's him getting down and basically licking the boots of both Vladimir Putin and the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia when both did obviously horrible things. Crown Prince, of course, ordered the execution and postmortem mutilation of a journalist living in America.
And also just making hostile enemies of the media.
Yeah.
Much so that we finally appeared on the international watch for endangerment of the press.
Yep. And there's also the thing about some of the stuff that happened before then. Like, you know, that thing that happened in Charlottesville, for example.
Yeah.
And him pussing out, refusing to
call out the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good people on both sides, my ass.
My ass.
So fuck you, Trump.
Basically.
Yes. All right. So obviously they weren't the only ones to get the top billing.
We have also enough room for everybody to win.
Oh, yes. So, of course, over in Wisconsin, we've got former Governor Scott Walker, who in his – who, I mean, let's be honest, he was already an asshole.
Yeah.
And he showed his special assholism this year when, after losing his election, he and the GOP in Wisconsin did everything they could to basically take away all of the power that the incoming governor and attorney general could possibly have.
Oh, let's not forget Michigan, who is pulling the same shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold up both of my arms and give my neighbors to the north big fuck yous.
Yeah.
Yep. And also not being able to use the charts.
Venn diagram.
Yes, not being able to use a Venn diagram properly.
Basically, it showed that he really is a greedy, spineless asshole. And
that will be his legacy. Doesn't have anybody on his staff that's smart enough to tell him that's not how that's supposed to be used.
Yep.
And that will be his legacy.
Yes. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure someone tried and he just didn't listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, fuck you, Scott Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And next up on the list, we got it from my neck of the woods, incoming Governor Brian Kemp, who, through a bunch of fear-mongering election shenanigans and outright examples of voter theft, he somehow managed to become governor of Georgia. Not that it really matters, because him, even if he did somehow manage to win the election, all these shenanigans he and his people pulled basically doesn't make him the legitimate governor anyway.
Yeah.
And I said this on Twitter, and I said this on Facebook. If you want to tell me, well, he is going to be our governor, and we are obligated to support him, I say, fuck you. The next time I see him, I'm throwing rocks at his head.
You should just throw melons.
I'm not that strong.
Throw some fruit.
Throw some fruit.
Get some of those Hitman muffins.
What was it? Maduro? Nicolas Maduro, people were throwing fruit at him.
Yeah.
They put messages on it for like, hey, I need an apartment. Somehow he would help them get that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're just encouraging people to throw things at you.
Yeah.
Do that at Brian Kemp.
Yeah.
he actually cheated to win an election.
Yep.
And
there is nothing he can do that will ever wash that stain away.
No.
Yeah, with the GOP constantly talking about the integrity of the elections, like here's a clear example of somebody violating that, and they don't give a shit.
No.
Yep.
Because they weren't.
Are there any legal challenges in the works?
I think Stacey Abrams is leading that.
Yeah, they're forming like a whole organization specifically, whose specific purpose is to monitor elections and to show any kind of voter intimidation or whatever. So.
Yeah, watchdog group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Brian Kemp, fuck you.
Yeah. And next up on our fuck you awards is America's Gestapo.
Mm-hmm. ICE.
Jailer of children. Still. And, of course, negligent murderers as well.
Yeah. And outright abusers.
Yep.
And the interesting thing from Hasan Minhaj's Patriot Act shows that there's actually three branches of ICE.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two are not shit bags.
No.
Yeah. One is very much about inter-country, you know, drug smuggling and all this sort of stuff. Like, things you actually want, you know, ICE to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's another one that's like a legal branch. They're very much all about doing things legally. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fucking ICE that you know of.
Yeah. And it's not even – it's actually – like, it's a new one. It was put in – when we started the Department of Homeland Security. So,
yeah, and they were essentially...
It was, I think, under W.
Immigration used to be handled by the Labor Department.
Mm-hmm.
Because the message essentially is like, they need jobs. Let's help them. Then it went under the defense. Like, hey, we need to fight immigration. Mm-hmm. And then went under the Homeland Security. Hey, they're terrorists.
Yeah.
That's how it's evolved. And so the other groups of ICE basically said, yeah, we want to be independent. We want to get out of this because we're not evil like these people.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you know those people are fucking assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because they're very much the the narcs of the government.
Oh, yeah.
They want to know where all the immigrants are, even if they're not doing anything illegal.
Yeah.
If their only crime is they're not citizens yet, when many of them have tried.
Yeah. Like I said, they're basically, the process of trying. They're basically Trump's secret police. Mm-hmm. That's what they are.
So, hey, ICE, fuck you.
Yeah. Next up in our fuck you awards is Bill Cosby. Because this year, we finally realize the extent of his crimes.
And he's only gotten, he's even gotten just a slap on the wrist compared to what he should get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And understand that this was a man who had spent at least the last 20 years basically preaching and bad-mouthing at the black community to quote-unquote clean up his act, him saying this while he was drugging and raping women.
Uh-huh.
So, yep. Yeah, America's dead at one point.
Yep.
Yeah. This is why you don't just randomly pick your heroes off of TV.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not without research.
Yep.
Because this guy's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Has only just now gotten a little bit of punishment for the things he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And they still tried to get out of it by saying, oh, he's an old man. He's, you know, partially blind. I was like, no, he still deserves punishment.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, Bill Cosby, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you're putting pops.
And next.
Yeah. They don't even sell those shits anymore.
Nope. No.
I wonder if tiki torches are going to stop being sold, too.
Oh, well, they still make those. I know they do.
Yeah.
I've seen them on sale. But
they serve actual purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unlike, you know, some people, the tiki torch people had pretty much since the day immediately after Charlottesville, immediately went online as like, yeah, we have nothing to do with these assholes.
Yeah. Fuck you, Nazis. These are for cookouts and shit.
I like that.
Yeah. Next up in our fuck you awards, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook.
Yep.
Who we found out pretty much are real skis bags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was it that went to Congress recently? The woman.
Yeah, it was Sheryl Sandberg.
They basically found out. Oh, she lied.
Yeah.
She wasn't fully truthful about.
Turns out that they've also been actively promoting they've been trying. Even though they had sort of started up a thing of like saying they were going to purge far right stuff, they also were sort of actively helping that stuff rise up in the algorithm. So it got more exposure. And of course, they're also completely okay with censoring parts of it in order to get into certain markets. So
they're also very much fine with. Where was the
fake news stories coming out of fucking Russia? Let's not forget about those. They got
very much
somehow.
Actively promoting and profiting off of that stuff. It Myanmar that had the genocides?
Yep.
That they were very inadequate with their moderation because they had like one or two people that could moderate that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they really weren't. In Myanmar, basically the whole thing is they essentially equated Facebook with the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And people were tossing hate speech all over the place, targeting specific people, and lots of death and such came at the hands of Facebook. And they basically said, we're going to try to get more people here, and still haven't really done it.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't done a proper job. It's like, don't push your service into new territories without the proper support for it. Because that is just letting the bad things go unnoticed, unchecked.
Yeah. That's what happens when you're a publicly traded company.
Yeah. And they still really don't get any pushback on that stuff.
No.
Because the people we have in Congress who bring them in for these investigations hardly know anything about what's going on. Did they have Google in recently and they're asking them about the iPhone? They're like, yeah, we don't.
And Sundar Pichai is like, we don't make that.
Yeah.
So we don't really know exactly what's going on there. It's like, oh, yeah, because you got a bunch of 70 and 80-year-old men who don't know anything about technology.
Yep.
They got their staff to handle their Twitter accounts and whatnot.
I love that they were able to just mercilessly roast Congress without even trying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. And it's like, okay, you guys essentially like Google off the hook. And yeah, Facebook is very much a data company that mines people's data.
Yep.
Sometimes willingly they give it to them. While at the same time trying to protect themselves as like a publisher. There's the whole thing of a platform versus publisher, and they want to be both. Mm-hmm. And that's not how it's supposed to work. They need to pick a side and stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they promote themselves as both and get no pushback because our laws are very inadequate to handle technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, Facebook is just a very confused company that doesn't actually really know what the hell it wants to be anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're still pushing the VR stuff and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so Facebook, fuck you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
try to do better at least.
And finally,
give me a chance.
Yeah. And finally, our last fuck you for the year, Skype. Because it sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I saw somebody from Microsoft basically saying, "Oh, the things you guys say about Skype, it happens in here too." Except we know exactly what we're complaining about. What's wrong, so we can be more pointed.
Well, if that's the case, then maybe somebody needs to fucking fix it.
Well, if you know how Microsoft is set up, like there's that whole image of all these different departments holding guns at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how it used to be, but that's not how it is anymore.
Yeah, there's still some separation. So I imagine the Skype team, anybody that's not in the Skype team, just talks shit about Skype.
Pretty much.
And that's... That's how you know a product is not great, and it's a shame that it's not. There's not too much competition out there. Like Discord's something we might try to experiment with, but there's not really too much else out there.
Yeah, because nobody does the voice quality like Skype does. That's the problem.
Yeah. And so yeah, Skype, fuck you.
Yeah.
Any more competition?
But we'll still use you because you're still the best, even though you suck.
And you're free.
Yeah,
constantly change settings so people's things don't work. Or, hey, here's an update. No, I don't want this.
Yeah,
it will be administered rectally.
Yeah, at least they did walk back an entire year of updates after people bitched about it. So
yeah,
there was that.
But that's like okay. Now we're back to a year ago. Now you got to fix all that.
It just sucks less.
All right,
and yeah, I wanted to close this out by saying, and guess what? We got enough awards for everybody else that's an asshole, so fuck you assholes. You all win awards, honorary awards.
All right.
Yeah.
And now, we now have the other side of the coin, the good side of the coin, the side of the coin that is sweet and doesn't smell like shit. It's the Fuck Yeah Award for Heroes of the Year. And the first heroes we have for this year are all the women who won seats during the midterms.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
An unprecedented number, might I add.
A record number ran for office and a record number won. And yeah, so the big problem with Congress and the government and all your state and local governments is it's probably like 80 or 90% men.
Not just that, but 80 or 90% over the hill, really old men.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
You know, who's really great at, you know, making laws about women's reproductive health?
Women!
Old men. old men who can't keep it up.
Yeah, whose mindset is old.
Mm-hmm.
She does not know the difference between, you know, Planned Parenthood, the healthcare provider, and the abortion provider.
Yeah.
And why legally those two things get different funding.
Mm-hmm.
That's one to... You know, make all the decisions about this stuff. It's like, you know how there are better things happen with that stuff? You get more women at the table at every part of the government, local, state, and federal.
Because
that's how you get better things to happen is get less men talking about this shit.
Yeah.
And just along with that, just having better representation because women are 50-51% of the population in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that your representation at any part of the government should be 80 or 90% men to women.
Mm-hmm.
It should be closer to half and half.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everybody gets a fair shake at, you know, all these decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least that ratio is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And it also was a good show of showing really just sort of the demographics change that have happened in the U.S. over the last few years.
Yeah, we had
as
a
well
lot
as
of
the political
color
change.
Get in.
Yeah, and also the political change as well, because after what feels like 50 fucking years of slowly, slowly gliding over to the right of Mussolini, American politics is finally starting to shift back to the center, or at least the left.
Yep, and yeah, it's really nice. We need to get more young people, more women, more people of color, because that representation still is not great.
Also, 2018 is probably the year that socialism finally stopped being a dirty word in American politics. Even though you know, cable news and conservative pundits desperately want to make it remain that way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's not unusual to have somebody, you know, say, oh, yeah, I'm a socialist, so.
Yep.
I shared a meme about that just today, I believe.
You did.
Yep.
A lot of people, well, old people hear socialism and think of the USSR and things like that. And we hear socialism and think of Canada and Switzerland and affordable health care and affordable housing.
Yeah.
And education. Well,
And to be fair, that's basically just social democracy, which is pretty much the mainstream outside of the United States.
That's what the group is, the Democratic Socialists of America. It's like, hey, things are pretty nice in Canada. We should probably take some of those ideas.
Yeah.
Yep.
But their worst thing is Rob Ford and his brother.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry about him.
Yeah. I mean, even freaking... you know, their last prime minister, who was basically the Canadian W.
Hunter?
Stephen Harper.
Yeah.
Even he was not willing to touch, you know, their Medicare. So.
Wasn't he in a band, Phil?
Yes, he's in
a really
band.
A really shitty band?
A really shitty band where he plays the piano and sings.
I think I saw a bit on John Oliver's show.
Yeah,
him trying to sing Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
From
Don't.
Yeah.
Oh, look up who is Jill Stein. She had a shitty band
in the early 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's be honest, she didn't have a chance in hell.
And it was
Green
awesome.
Party
in the 90s.
Ladies? No.
No.
Yeah. And this whole great thing that happened with the midterms is kind of a nice makeup for what happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Where he said, hey, this racist piece of shit asshole who has nothing but hate for most people, he's more qualified than a woman who's been in the government for 30 years, who's been at every level, very experienced, and fucking called all of Trump's bullshit ahead of time. Told us this shit was going to happen. Guess what? It happened.
Yeah. Unfortunately, she was a corrupt and evil bitch anyway, so we were kind of fucked either way.
Yeah, she
would have been less fucked if she
Yeah.
That was a problem.
The term I used was steady hand at the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a woman president just so people stop fucking freaking out at the idea of a woman being president.
Yeah, it's got to happen sooner.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So some of the women that got seats this year. Of course, the big one is Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes.
Who has been destroying people left and right.
Yes.
And hers was like the most – you want to talk about a Cinderella story, that's the one. Because she was – you know, she – in her district, she was considered to be the long shot.
Yeah. She defeated a 14-year
incumbent.
Yeah. In New York, she's like, oh, I don't even know – what Mexican people like.
Yeah.
Like making fun of Mexican restaurant names and stuff. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're in fucking New York.
And she's also, we're talking about socialism. She is the first person since first elected official at that level of government besides Bernie Sanders to actually come out and say she's a socialist.
Yep.
Yeah. And she's also young.
Yeah, she's young. She's hip. She knows.
She's also willing to learn, which is things that all the old men don't do.
Yeah.
But people shit on her because she doesn't know everything right now. It's like, well, yeah, she's going to learn.
Yeah.
That's what Congress is.
She has a brain.
This entire movement has been about getting people who might not otherwise be interested in elected office to run for something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has also brought light over the last couple months over the sheer amount of expenses it takes to actually just go to D.C. and be a congressperson.
Yeah, there's the ethics things where she cannot accept a room from a friend.
Yeah.
Like, she can't crash on a couch because that's ethically not allowed, but people in Congress can have stocks that can change.
I love that she's pulling the curtain back on all this.
And people are like, what? But you don't know how math works. And it's like, she can learn math. Stocks, you can't fucking fix that shit without just outright getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing is, she's also completely clean. Like, there is no scandal you can attach to her.
Like, the worst thing you can say is that she doesn't know much yet, and she just had, entry-level jobs. It's like,
So did I. So did a good chunk of America for this economy.
Yeah. She's not fucking sitting on a golden toilet coming into Congress, with tons of connections. Like, we need more people that don't have that stuff.
And it scares them that somebody from that background is going to have that kind of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else? We got the first lesbian Native American woman.
Yep.
Who was also elected. We've got two Muslim women.
Yeah, Rashida Tlaib.
And what was it, Ehel Armon?
Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got...
Ilhan Omar, I can't remember.
Yeah, there's like five new women of color who coming in. They're like a big group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're going to shake things up come the new year. Just wait.
Yeah, teaming up with Kamala Harris and some of the others in the Senate.
Maxine Waters, who is going to be, because of this election, she's now going to be in the Commerce Committee, which means she's going to have the power to subpoena Trump's tax returns.
Yep.
And there won't be a goddamn thing that he can do about it.
Except tweet angrily.
Yeah.
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 Hmm.
All right. Next up, our other
women, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In politics.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up in our Fuck Yeah Awards for Heroes of the Year, the kids, teenagers, the students in Parkland. Because when Nicholas Cruz went in there and gunned down a bunch of their friends, we were all expecting, because whenever one of these mass shootings happens, there's like a cycle that happens, right? We all mourn
thoughts and
grieve. We ask why. And then there's thoughts and prayers. The NRA comes in, gives their good guy with a gun spiel. And then eventually they do everything to bury the issue
Should we talk about what happened to a few good guys with guns this year?
We will, maybe another time. But right now, need to focus on this because there was a monkey wrench that got thrown into the works this time. Because what the NRA and our government did not expect was that for the first time, the students of Parkland actually came out and had made their voices heard.
Yep.
They actually went out, they went to the press, they went online, they publicly confronted public officials and spokesmen for the NRA and told them, unless you start doing something, you can go fuck yourself. Because thoughts and prayers ain't cutting it anymore, Jack.
Never did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they went on that big the big sort of discussion with Marco Rubio and Bill Nelson. Them basically told Marco Rubio to go fuck himself.
Yeah,
on national television.
Yeah. It was if there was any time to show that the man really has no spine, it was that.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was also the time when they actually gave the finger to Dana Lash.
Yep. Yeah.
That was wonderful.
And it's really great to show because that was still this year. That was February.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that feels like it was 10 years ago.
No, it wasn't. And then they put on a big rally. We had March for Our Lives. Mm-hmm. There's the March for Our Lives movement. And they have done a lot to not allow the opposition to bury the issue. They have managed to keep it in the public eye.
Yep. Since so much then. So that they finally put a it's not a bill, but they're finally banning bump stocks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Completely.
Yep.
Basically, classifying them as what is it, assault rifles?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So now they have like 90 days to either turn them in or destroy them.
Yeah. It also, this whole thing also showed just how low that the NRA and the group of homosexuals can really get.
Yeah.
Because they began actively trying to, you know, make conspiracy theories saying, oh, those kids weren't actually there at school, or, you know, they're getting paid by someone, usually George Soros. They're trained by someone, again, usually by George Soros. And, you know, they've had death threats, you know. They've had people tell, you know, they told that one girl, you know, you're a commie, go back to Cuba. Her parents are Cuban refugees, by the way. But
yeah. Oh, I love this. On the 18th, when they announced the bump stock ban, the NRA Twitter account tweeted, it's a quote from Justice Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly 5 million Americans own AR-style semi-automatic rifles. The overwhelming majority of citizens who own and use such rifles do so for lawful purposes, including self-defense, dot, dot, dot. It's like, what the fuck are you doing?
How many people do you hear about in the news shooting someone with an assault rifle in self-defense?
Not nearly as many as you find Second Amendmenting themselves, their loved ones, and their neighbors.
Yeah. Or I mean, the testicles.
I think there's also these lawful abiding citizens, you know what, they don't really do anything with their guns. They don't do anything illegal. Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's the people that are not fine that are the problem and are ruining for everybody else.
Because, see, here's the thing. Most of the homosexuals do not have very good trigger discipline. They do not do very good upkeep of their firearms. They do not keep them in safe places. They do not understand things like slam firing or having rounds cooked off or all of the little things that can go wrong with a firearm.
God damn, this NRA Twitter account posts a lot of pictures of guns.
Are we surprised?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hey, look at our guns.
Mm.
Our
dicks
are too small.
Yeah. But, so
yeah,
those were some of our heroes of the year, the Barton kids. They threw a monkey wrench in the system and
continue to
things are finally happening.
They have really changed stuff, and they're going to keep changing stuff. Because I have
college for a year to do more activism work.
Yeah, and we already know that some of these kids are probably going to have a future in legislation. So
hell yes.
After
they weren't turned on to politics before, they sure are now.
Yeah,
if you remember right after the Parkland shooting, when they visited the state legislature, they were voting on a bill to ban the assault rifles.
Mm-hmm.
They voted to turn that down.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, how do you not read the room?
Yeah,
like read what's going on in your state.
Yeah,
saying, hey, we should probably do something about this.
Yeah.
So yeah, fuck yeah, Parkland kids, keep kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Next up in our fuck yeah awards, engineer Mark Rober. See, Mark Rober had a problem in his neighborhood. Apparently, there were a bunch of people going around stealing parcels and packages off the porches of people's houses. So he came up with this brilliant / over-engineered bait package, which includes basically a glitter bomb, a mechanized fart spray, and a bunch of phones that have the recording function on, so you've got four different views of the thieves. and watching videos of this thing is incredible.
Yep. Yeah, this is one of the funnest things I have seen all year. Because, you know, he must have spent a lot, he says it in the video, he spent like 6 months working on this problem. Which is exactly what a former NASA engineer is going to do. It's like, yeah, packages are being stolen. Let me create a dummy package that looks like a HomePod and stick that there for people to grab. And, oh boy, the results were exceptional.
How much novelty flatulence did he use?
Two cans.
Two cans, yeah. Five sprays per shot. You only need one to clear a room.
Yeah. Next up, our other hero of the week is, I mean, our fuck yeah war for heroes of the year is Ashton Kutcher. Because with the organization he founded with Demi Moore, he has managed, as of this year, to save 6,000 children from sex trafficking.
Yeah. He's using big data and technology in a really good way.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of give him props for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see a lot of stories about, you know, Google, Facebook, and all that using big data in like nasty ways, and this is one of the ways that you can actually use it properly. Yeah. So.
Yep. Hmm. Yep. Fuck yeah, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You grown ups, it's punked.
Yeah. And finally, our last fuck you award, fuck yeah award for Heroes of the Year goes to the Me Too movement, which has basically turned the establishment upside down.
Yep, put everybody, all the skeezes on blast.
Yeah.
So much so that there, anybody that says, oh, I don't know where the line is anymore, that means you've crossed the line.
Yeah.
At some point, like you've outed yourself.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
We've gone back. It's not only just recent shit, but people have gone back and brought back shit from years ago that these assholes had thought they'd managed to bury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work in every case, as we saw with the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
where a bunch of old men said, hey, no claims are too gross, too awful for us to vote in a good old boy.
But look at what happened after that.
Yeah. He was one of the dissenters. Well, one of the people who agreed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, not just that, now, but we also got the midterms. So
Yeah.
The midterms happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We saw what happened with Liz Moonves, mm-hmm. who supposedly mm-hmm. had a woman on staff, like basically on call for whenever he wanted a BJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like, really?
That's
really
classy. Yeah. And so CBS basically said, yeah, we're going to – he also interfered with the investigation, destroyed evidence, things like that, which, you know, hey, you're innocent, right? That's why you destroy things.
No, that's not a way to keep your golden parachute.
Yeah. And so they said, yeah, we're firing you for cause, so there's no golden parachute. And they put a bunch of it into various charities related to sexual harassment and all that. So,
yeah.
Fuck yeah, Me Too movement.
Yep.
You've scared the shitbags.
Yeah.
Not enough to necessarily prevent things from happening in the future, but to at least make them think. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
What I am finding is that this is the sort of thing that's indicative of a general change in society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are in the middle of a cultural revolution.
Yes.
It is happening around us right now, and you can either go along with it or you can be crushed under the wheel of history.
Yep.
The choice is yours.
Yeah, this is sort of our generation's, sort of like the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
This is
our 1960s, basically.
Yeah. Women right now are getting shot with their own hoses.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the internet.
Yep.
Just hate hoses, essentially.
Yeah.
Death threats and all that sort of stuff.
Well, the last couple of years have also made us realize that, no, you can't just sit idly by and let, you know, Nazis and fascists just do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole notion of don't feed the troll is not a thing that actually works.
No, you can't just get over everything with peace and love. You sometimes have to actively confront shit. And
1940s solutions.
Yeah. And if this has taught us anything, it's that, you know, Antifa works.
Yep. Mm.
I mean, there's a reason you haven't seen Richard Spencer out in public.
Yep.
Yep. There's a reason why, you know, a lot of these protests, you know, the dipshits are generally outnumbered by the good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they also now know that the good people aren't afraid to bust them upside the head with a tire iron.
Yep, if need be.
Yeah. Yeah. We ain't just you know, flashing peace signs. We ain't just a bunch of hippies anymore. We got guns too, motherfucker. And we're not afraid to use them if we have to.
I keep a slightly less blunt object in my pocket just for such an occasion.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And finally, for good measure, we have our Dipshits of the Year awards. The first one is rapper Soulja Boy, because he is a dumbass.
Yeah, he's got two new devices out now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of these are just rebranded.
Is there one that he's not getting sued for?
No.
Yeah, there's like...
It's already been sued.
Like counterfeits, like iWatches... Jesus. Apple Watches. Yeah. There's counterfeits like Apple earbuds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like he thinks that he's going to get rich off of this. It's like,
No.
He also says he wants to start an esports team and he wants Ninja on it.
Okay.
Nope. I'll take things that aren't going to happen for 1,000, Alex.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Soulja Boy.
I mean, if Ninja's smart, he'll take the money and run, but,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't actually compete in anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this this handheld new one he has
basically a counterfeit. Yeah, it's a counterfeit console from China.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a Game Boy Color.
The emulations suck.
Okay.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, we've seen, like, when I heard this story, I thought, okay, good for him. He's doing something, just to supplement his budget. But no, he's actually out and out scamming people here. Mm-hmm. It's like he's an irrelevant rapper struggling to remain relevant.
Mm-hmm. And
imagine that.
And these people came along and offered him an interesting business proposition that he did not fully
understand
and, you know, think about ahead of time.
He wants to be Jay-Z or Dr. Dre, but he's not prizes. Either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wins, play stupid games, wins stupid prizes, certainly. Yeah.
And like,
Nintendo certainly knocked on his door, so that's going
to
be fun.
Like I said, he wants to have the entrepreneur cred that, you know, Jay-Z or Dr. Dre has, and he ain't going to get it.
Not this way.
Nope.
But, and finally... Final entry for Dipshits of the Year, final award for the year, final subject we're going to have for the year. Tumblr, which committed ritual suicide Monday when it officially banned all quote-unquote adult not safe for work content from its website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they kind of walked it back a little bit, but not really.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. You know what other company did that? LiveJournal.
What happened to them? Yeah.
Gee, I wonder.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, Tumblr was exclusively porn, but that is what a lot of people...
It's what it was for, and we now have proof because of...
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny, you know, because Tumblr kind of got that reputation of, you know, being the
whiny
SJW cesspool, but... That is far from what it was in reality.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, it was a meme factory. That's for one thing.
No, the one thing I made that ever went viral was from Tumblr. So.
Yeah, it's like It's like most of BuzzFeed's content came from Tumblr.
Yep.
So yeah, that should probably say a lot.
Yeah.
But basically, what happened is like all the people who like were artists that did adult material. They basically have all migrated to Newgrounds.
Yeah.
Or Pixiv or Twitter, you know, stuff like that.
BDSMler.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DeviantArt, if they weren't already there.
Yeah.
So, Yeah. They just, you know, it was basically an overreaction when people realized that some people were hosting child porn on there. And apparently they weren't willing to shell out the money to have people, to hire people to monitor content on the website. So.
Nope.
They got out of Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're broke.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. And these guys are owned by Yahoo
and Verizon.
I mean,
which is Verizon.
I'll keep watching eBay for their relevance, too.
Yep. I somehow don't think we'll be talking about Tumblr by the end of 2019.
Oh, we will. We'll still be making fun of it.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I do believe we have got a show for the year.
Yep.
So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, something you would like us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our cute little piece of shenanigans at a podcast, TuneIn, Google Play, archive.org, RSS, basically anywhere where podcasts like ours are produced and can be downloaded to be enjoyed through your ear mouths. So, with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. We'd like to remind you, we're not going to have a show next week. And are we going to have Day Zero Sunday or not? We're not? Okay.
Nope.
So, you pretty much are not going to hear from us again until after January 1st. So,
assume the 4th?
Probably the 4th. Right. So, we would like to wish all of y'all that are celebrating Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Festivus, you know.
Happy Don't say Happy Hanukkah because that's already over.
Yeah, that's already over.
Yeah.
Happy Saturnalia.
Happy second Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Second Hanukkah, too. Just keep it going all year round.
Yeah, yeah. You know, happy.
Just fucking party.
Yeah. You know, happy Dionysia. Hail Satan. Is that it? Is that the list? I think I finished it.
I think so.
I think you happy did it solstice. Justice.
Oh, yeah, the solstice.
Today.
All right. Well,
enjoy the fuel.
Good night, folks. And we'll see you next year.